And finally, I think Congress on the Confederate side was less effective than it might have been, because in a war, power naturally gravitates toward the executive, and that certainly was the case here. Jefferson Davis had an enormous amount of power during the war, and a fairly weak Confederate Congress simply didn't play as vital a role in determining Confederate policy as it might have in other than wartime conditions. What about Jefferson Davis himself? He and his policies became the focus of intense and often vitriolic political debate in the Confederacy. He became a lightning rod for much of the animosity directed toward national policies, toward failures on the battlefield. The doubts and complaints and worries were often focused in Jefferson Davis's direction, as is natural with any chief executive. Davis was born in 1808 in Kentucky into a middle-class family. He was 52 years old at the time of secession. Moved to Mississippi as a boy. He attended Transylvania University in Kentucky and then went on to West Point. As we've seen before, he graduated from West Point. He was a fun-loving extrovert at the academy. He drank, he caroused. After one particularly merry evening of drink and female companionship, he fell off some of the little cliffs along the Hudson, was very badly injured, ended up in the hospital, and was sentenced to dismissal from the academy for drinking on one occasion, but his sentence was remitted. He resigned from the army in the 1830s, married the daughter of Zachary Taylor, but malaria almost immediately struck the new couple, and she died after less than 3 months of marriage. He suffered lingering effects from this for the rest of his life, including near blindness in one eye. Davis grieved and immersed himself in agricultural pursuits. By 1840, he was a planter. He owned about 40 slaves. He would own more than that as he went on through life. He raised a regiment during the Mexican War, led it with distinction, and then entered politics. He won election to the U.S. Senate from Mississippi, and he served as a senator during most of the late antebellum period, with 1 4-year period off to be Secretary of War under President Franklin Pierce in the early 1850s. He was a good Secretary of War, quite innovative. He had a hand in the experiment with using camels in the American Southwest, which might have worked had the war not come. And he also changed the curriculum at West Point from a 4-year to a 5-year curriculum. Very unpopular with the cadets, but he thought it would give a better education to these young men who were going to be prominent engineers and officers. He was without question, I think, the most prominent slaveholding politician on the eve of the Civil War. And as we've said earlier, he was a natural choice to be president of this new republic. He had strengths and weaknesses. On the positive side, he was a meticulous thinker. He was intelligent, industrious, had a good grasp of military problems and options. We've talked about his strategic thinking before. At first, he favored what we might call a cordon defense, where you try to defend every square mile and keep all your constituents happy. But he later adopted what is called either the offensive-defensive or defensive-offensive strategy, where you stand broadly on the defensive but try to find places where a strategic counterpunch would be successful. And I think that was the best strategy for the Confederacy to follow. Some modern writers, post-Vietnam writers, I should say, have argued that the Confederacy should have adopted a wide-scale guerrilla resistance from the beginning. I think that is a complete misreading of what was possible at the time of the Civil War. A slaveholding society concerned about maintaining control over 3.5 million slaves is not going to adopt a guerrilla strategy that invites your enemy's armies into your heartland and risks chaos in the countryside. I think that Davis's strategy made as much sense as any. He was beyond question an honest man. He possessed ample personal courage, and he was clearly devoted to the Southern cause, to the Confederate cause, and worked extremely hard for it. But he also had a number of weaknesses. He was intensely loyal to friends, stuck with them in some cases far too long, and I think Braxton Bragg is a perfect example of that. Bragg was loyal to Davis. Davis was loyal to Bragg, even beyond the point when most of Bragg's subordinates and many other people believe Bragg should no longer be commander of the Army of Tennessee. We've talked about that episode.